Well, good morning. My name is David Woodbury. I am one of your deacons here at Grace Covenant Church. This morning, we're going to be doing the second in a series of new member classes that will be going through the first Sunday of each month for the next several months. This one is safety for their members, for the members and the children of Grace Covenant Church. I'm going to tag team it today. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes about security and a couple other connected issues, and then Mrs. Tara Schultz is going to get up here and talk to you about our child protection policy in detail. So with that, let's get started here. I'm going to talk to you this morning about physical security. That is how we protect our people while we're here worshiping and doing other things, fellowshipping. And I'm also going to discuss medical emergencies at Grace Covenant Church and a little bit about safeguarding personally identifiable information of our members with regard to what we put on our website and what we don't put on our website. So first, let's talk about medical emergencies. We are blessed at Grace Covenant Church to have in our membership doctors, nurses, and EMTs. In general, we always have one of them on call to respond to a medical emergency. In the event we don't have one of them, and the rare event that we don't have one of them here at the church during a time of worship or another scheduled time, we also have had training done for several members of the church, trained in American Red Cross certified basic life-saving and CPR. We have a robust medical emergency bag, complete with an AED, or some of y'all may know it as a defibrillator, that is stored in the front office, right as you come in the front entrance, on the right side. That front office is always unlocked when we are having a church service, so it's accessible. It's marked in the lower cabinet with a big medical red cross on the cabinet, so you know where it's at. Both the medical bag and the AED are in there. If you have a child or yourself that has a cut, you need a Band-Aid, don't go into that medical emergency box. It's not in there. We want to keep that stuff for true emergencies. If you need a Band-Aid or some Neosporin or something, we have a first aid kit, a boo-boo box, I call them, in the janitor's closet hanging on the wall there. Little red box with the cross on it again, red cross on it again. If you have, and this is mainly for our members or our prospective members, considering coming into membership, if you have some sort of a medical condition that you would like for our first responders, before the city's first responders get here, if you have some medical condition that you would like our people to know about, let's say you're on blood thinners or you have a pacemaker, anything like that, and you're comfortable with it, let me know, and I will make sure that information is put in that emergency medical bag, and I will brief our medical professionals so that they know of the medical condition that you would want them to know about. Okay, that's it on medical emergencies. Any questions on that before I go on? Okay? So,
okay.
Yes, ma'am. Up. Microphone, go to the microphone. Children's what?
Ice packs.
There are, yes, if there's something we need an ice pack for, we have the break open. They're in the regular medical emergency bag. We do have cold packs available, yes.
I would also suggest that we don't have to use those. You have, like, in certain summer times or freezer pops, right?
We have what?
Freezer pops.
We may. We'll leave that to the medical professionals. If they need to treat it, they will use what they need to use. Okay, moving on to kind of ancillary to church security, but it is important. As a church family, we have a lot of information on the internet that it's valuable tools. We have a church calendar, a schedule of all the events we do around the church. It's a standard Google calendar on internet. It has our scheduled worship times, Sunday school, Vesper, in the worship service. But it also has a lot of other events. It has ladies' retreats, it has youth events, youth meetings, it has book studies, it has baby showers, all sorts of stuff that's private stuff that we as a family enjoy, and we like having that calendar so we can keep track of all the things we're doing, but we don't necessarily want to telegraph it to the world. So when you go on our website, the Grace Covenant Church website, you'll see on the far right there's a drop-down menu that says member resources. You click on that, and it's going to ask you for a password. If you're already a member, you have that password. If you're a prospective member, you will be provided that password when you become a member. And that gives you access to that side. There's a whole bunch of other stuff there. But the church calendar is there, nice and secure. And also the church directory. It's like a phone book. Never mind. It's got a list of every member of the church, husbands, wives, kids, birth dates, phone numbers, all sorts of information that's useful for email addresses, all sorts of information that's useful for us as a family. I think I reference that thing at least weekly. And it's always there on the internet, easy to get to. However, it's protected. So for the prospective members, we just want to let you know we do take that seriously, safeguarding your personal information. And it is password protected. And that password is changed frequently. And once you're a member, every time we change that password, you will be informed of the fact that, and it's a hassle, you know, it's the best way we can keep you secure is changing the passwords frequently. Okay, next the big one, physical security. That is protecting our members from bad elements in society that would want to do us harm. It's a pretty sober topic, but it's important that we address it. For the purposes of this prospective member class, which is going to be posted on the internet, I'm going to speak more to the rationale the leadership used in developing our physical security policy and not so much talking about the nuts and bolts, the details of how we establish and ensure physical security at the church when we're here. So threats to God's people are nothing new. All right. You watch the news and there's some terrible things happen in churches and synagogues and other places of worship around the country and definitely around the world. That is nothing new. It's something we should expect as Christians. In John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." So we're not surprised when we are threatened, persecuted, harassed, but neither should we live in fear of that or let that affect or dampen our worship of our Lord and corporately. It is okay for us to protect ourselves from those bent on doing us harm. Scripture is instructive here. I like going to Nehemiah chapter 4. I kind of think that's the first security policy that was put in place. This is about 450 years or so before the birth of our Lord. God's people were facing an existential threat even more so than we are facing in this country today in churches. They had just been released from captivity by the Persian king, and they were trying to reestablish, basically go back to life in Jerusalem, and they were rebuilding the temple wall, and the locals weren't having any of that. They were God haters, and they wanted to do anything to stop or thwart God's people from doing what they needed to do. It was so bad, there was a couple of bad actors, one guy named Sanballat, another guy named Tobias, and these guys were the ringleaders. They worked the local thugs up into a frothy uproar. And this is a quote. This is not fake news. This is an actual quote from the bad guys. In Nehemiah 4:11, the enemies of God's people said, "They will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop their work." So Nehemiah took action because the people his people were terrified, and they melted in the face of this threat and this fear of this impending attack. So he took action. The very first thing he did is he prayed, and he prayed for protection. He prayed for protection of God's people, the people that the Lord had entrusted him to lead. And the next thing he did is he developed a physical security policy for his people. He established a detailed security policy complete with equipment, procedures, and people trained to implement his procedures. This policy was a home run. Okay, it worked. It was effective in two ways. First of all, it deterred. The bad guys never attacked him. It deterred him. And it's more important is it inspired God's people and gave them confidence that they could continue the Lord's work without fear. So in the same vein, our elders here have done the same thing. It was a number of years ago. The elders, obviously, they pray for our security and safety, our physical security, along with our spiritual well-being. And a number of years ago, the elders directed the deacons to develop and execute a physical security plan for the church. That started with having the police department out here and assessing, giving us a security assessment, and then we took several steps after that. Like Nehemiah's plan of old, the plan we have is designed to thwart our enemies, prevent them from even trying to attack us, and inspire confidence among our members so that when we're sitting in here worshiping, we're not afraid of some sort of outside threat because we're watching out for it. This plan has a lot of moving parts and a lot of people involved in it to make it happen right now. It's happening right now. As I speak, that plan is in effect. We have people looking out for us as I speak. And that brings me to how our physical security policy interfaces with and supports our children's ministries. If you decide to serve in one of these ministries, and I highly encourage you to do so, it'll be of eternal benefit for both you and the children you serve. But so if you do serve in either the nursery or as a Sunday school teacher, you're going to be required to get our child protection policy training, which Ms. Tara Schultz is going to give here shortly, right after I sit down. Because this is open forum here, I'm not going to discuss methods, but if you're going to serve in one of those ministries, before your first Sunday school class, before your first stint in the nursery, come and see myself or any of the deacons. We will give you a less than 5-minute brief on what we expect you to do. There's a couple of steps that you need to be able to take if an emergency happens, and you will know when an emergency happens, and there's a couple of steps that you will take to safeguard our kids. Are there any questions on anything I've discussed? Mr. Crawford. Good question. We have, like I said in the beginning, I'm not interested in really sharing in this open format all of the measures we take, but certainly that's a common sense thing that we do. We do secure doors at certain times during the services. However, we always have, also we have people on watch. And if you do need to go out to your car to get something, or you need to leave early or come back, you come in late, you will be allowed to come into the church. We always make sure we have access to it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, we do. We have, like I said, we have our Google Calendar on the secure member resources side, and if we have a youth meeting here or a baby shower or anything else, we have special fellowship meetings, dinners, business meetings throughout the year, and we always provide security for those. We do our best to do that. We want to protect you, and we want to be able to make sure while you're here, you're not trying to live in fear while you're trying to worship the Lord or fellowship with other people. Any other questions? Mr. Freeman.
Good morning. In years past, a lot of members had keys, mm-hmm. and things have changed. So how do you guys control keys now?
Okay, so good question. So yes, because the congregation's getting bigger, when I was in the Navy, you had two, with security, you had two things. You had a classification, you had a clearance, and then you also had to have a need to know. It wasn't enough just to have the clearance. So we have changed the locks recently, and the only key holders are elders, deacons, and a few other people who have key positions where they need to access the church during off hours. We control the keys tightly, and we have an alarm system, obviously, and that alarm code is changed frequently also. To answer your question? Okay. Anything else? Okay, one last thing. As the guy in charge of the physical security program here, there is a security ministry also. It doesn't take any special qualifications, but if you would like to be a member of that, please see me after you become a member. We are always looking for people to watch out for us. And it does, like I said, don't take any special qualifications. It just takes you to be focused. Excuse me?
People or men?
Men. It needs you to be focused and not being distracted and keeping an eye on cameras. If that's all, then I will. Yes, sir.
So if you get tasked with doing an event, what's the procedure to let folks know that you're going to be here after hours and have somebody here to open?
You inform a deacon, inform me. If it's an event, then it should be on the church calendar. And I scan that every month to make sure that we have security protection for anything going on.
So the person responsible for contacting.
Yeah, if you're going to schedule an event after the calendar has been published, if you've got an emergent coming up in the next couple of weeks, yeah, let the deacons know and they'll get the word back to me and we'll make sure you got coverage and get the building open for you. Okay. All right. Tara.
Good morning. My name is Tara Schultz. I am the administrative secretary here, and I am also in charge of the children's ministry here at Grace Covenant Church. And today I'm going to be discussing with you the child protection policy that we have in place. The policy has been in place for a few years. It is updated each year. And we do let members know that they can access the child protection policy either on our website or via a hard copy if you prefer. Today, I'm going to be discussing with you how we protect children, not just of course, we look out for their spiritual well-being first and foremost, but we also want to look out for their physical well-being while we're here. Pastor Josh has frequently mentioned that he wants parents to have cognitive rest while they are here worshiping, and that is something that we seek to put in place with our child protection policy. We do ask that members read the policy. I'm going to be giving you an overview today, but there are some more details in the policy that I just probably won't have time to go over with you in detail. So today I'm going to give you an overview of some of the fences that we have in place, from everything covering like the deeper, darker aspects of depravity to the more mundane, routine protections we have in place for sickness and such. So it's, you know, most places you go, whether it's a school, a gym, a daycare, they have protocols in place. But being a church, we have a higher imperative to protect children, to protect our volunteers. But even more importantly, to protect Christ and the church. And so we take it very seriously. And anytime there's an update that is put into the CPP, it is prayerfully and purposefully put in. Nothing that we've designed is arbitrary. And things have changed over the years. We used to be able to fit all the kids in our church down two little tables in the hallway, and now we have over 50. So with that growth, we've really had to update our check-in and check-out policies. We've gone from pen and paper to an electronic policy that I'll talk to you about today. So it probably wouldn't surprise you that churches are particularly vulnerable to predators and offenders. And when I say predators and offenders, I mean those who wish to prey on those weaker than they are, or to infiltrate a church or an organization that under false or unsavory pretenses. So I'll be referring to predators and offenders a lot. And they're the reason why we have our fences in place. So why do predators target churches? Well, don't throw tomatoes at me. Christians tend to be naive. I know that's kind of a blanket statement, but in some interviews with convicted offenders, they have said that Christians are trusting folk, and we tend to lower our guard around other Christians. And so we have to distinguish between likability and trustworthiness. A lot of us growing up, we heard the stranger danger myth. And to be quite honest with you, it is a myth. Most perpetrators are people who the children know and are familiar with and have a relationship with of trust. So most abuse is carried out by people familiar to the victim. Christians tend to be ignorant as to the problem and extent of abuse in the church. And a lot of times we, you know, say, well, that would never happen here. We know all of our people. Churches offer access to children, easy access. There's nothing new under the sun. How many times have we said, oh, if we just had enough volunteers, if we just had like 4 more people in the nursery or 5 more people teaching? Churches are always looking for help. You know, life happens. Volunteers sometimes show up late, and along comes courteous, reliable, you know, fill in the name here, who's here to save the day. And predators know this, and they prey on these vulnerabilities. So offenders also seek to abuse authority. Children are taught to submit. And predators in a place of authority are often afforded trust by children and parents. It's scary if that person isn't well-meaning. Usually, people in churches might be easy to manipulate. An offender could use religious language to confuse a child's understanding of God, of sin, of faith. This is love. This is not sin. And some churches offer cheap grace. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, and absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living in an incarnate." Offenders count on cheap grace when they go into a church. And if you've been sitting under the preaching of pastors here of any length of time, you'll know that that's not the kind of grace that's peddled here. And again, offenders are looking for places where they might say, "I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. It'll never happen." And they don't have to face significant consequences. But that is not the type of grace we have in place here. So where do we go from here? Matthew 10:16 calls us to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We don't want to fall into the ditch of paranoia, and we don't want to fall into the ditch of aloofness. For this reason, we've created the child protection policy, to make much of the stewardship of those in our care, to provide a healthy, safe, and loving environment for our children to learn about Jesus, and to champion trust, accountability, and integrity. In doing so, we're making much of Christ and his bride, the church. So again, the CPP is available in hard copy or on our website. I can provide a hard copy for you if you would like. We do ask that each member in the church be familiar with our child protection policy, even if you don't have children. Because there are a lot of moving parts in place that would affect you, even if you're not serving in one of our ministries. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you all a little bit about accountability. So anyone who wants to volunteer for our nursery or to teach Sunday school or to teach our youth must be, you have to get a background check. So let me explain that process to you. We would give you a hard copy of a background check disclosure. You would fill it out, sign it. This goes directly to Pastor Ken. And Pastor Ken will send you a link via email to get a very, background check done, and nobody else sees that information. Pastor Ken is the one who gets all the information on that, and he's the only one who sees it. But anyone who is over 18 and wants to serve here has to get a background check. Also, we have some younger or, helpers that are children of members, and if they are age 12 to 17, they can help alongside a member or their mom or dad if they're members. That's okay. They're not required to get a background check, but they do have to serve under someone who is a member of our church and has had a background check. Okay, teaching. Anybody can teach who's 18 or up and a member of the church. Also, you can volunteer in the nursery. We would love for you to volunteer to teach or be in the nursery, nursery through fifth grade. However, there are a couple of caveats. Men may serve in the nursery, but they may not change diapers on children other than their own children. In fact, we would encourage you to change the diapers of your own children. For our youth ministry, which is grade 6 through 12, we do have teachers in place, but they must be men, and they must be approved by the elders of the church. Standards of conduct and supervision. If you're volunteering in the nursery, there are 3 services on Sunday that we have opportunities to serve. We have our Sunday school service, we have our morning worship, and we also have Vesper. And we do serve, the nursery is for children up to their 3rd birthday. And after that, we do encourage parents to have their children with them, either in the sanctuary or we have a cry room, and now we also have a training room available next to the pastor's office. Okay, so if you are serving in the nursery or if you are teaching, our Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. So if you're teaching Sunday school, we have a 3s and 4s class right now. We have kindergarten 1st, 2nd and 3rd, and 4th and 5th. And that happens at the same time as the adult Sunday school. So if you're teaching, we do ask that you arrive 10 minutes before the service starts, because some of our parents are also serving in the nursery or they're teaching a class and they need to get their child into your class before they, go into theirs to serve. We do ask that children not be left attended in the classrooms, either while a class is going on or even when classes are not going on. They get a hold of Expo markers and it's not pretty. Please keep your children in the classroom until Sunday school is dismissed. There's also security aspects in that go along with that, but we do ask teachers, even if you finish up a couple minutes early, please keep the children in the classrooms. If you're teaching in our 3s and 4s or our kindergarten and 1st grade class, you will be given a helper or an assistant. Children 1st grade and under must be escorted to the restrooms, and we do ask that only females do that, and that's when our junior helpers come in place. They like to help out in the classrooms, and they can escort children into the restroom. The other things we have in place are more judgment calls, but some kids, they aren't huggers. So as nursery workers, as teachers, we really want to show deference to not imposing hugs on children if they don't want them. Just you know, using good judgment in that way. And also in discipline scenarios, obviously we do not exert corporal punishment. We follow the Ephesians 4:22-24, put off the old and put on the new model for the children in disciplinary situations. And you're always welcome to go get a parent or send for a parent if you have a problem, but we haven't had to do that very often. Okay. Occasionally, not very often, our youth will have off-campus activities. When that happens, we do ask that parents fill out a form, like a permission policy form, which I did not bring with me. There is a special release and permission form for parents. It has includes your child's medical information, gives permission to the church to watch over your child in case they, you know, there's a ministry activity. A couple years ago, the kids went over to the Loving and Caring Ministry, and they served over there. They built a shelter, and that was a really great experience for them. Once we did have an activity where it was overnight, and we have many protocol in place for any kind of overnight activities, of course. That's outlined in our CPP, so I won't go into all of that now, but essentially the protection practices that are in place are there to protect the children. We have an injury report. If you are working in the nursery or in the classroom and a child is hurt, we haven't had to fill out too many of these either, which has been a blessing. We have an injury report. If a child bites another child or somebody gets hurt, we do want to have that on record for our deacons at the church. Okay, and finally, under this particular heading, we do not allow PDA with the youth. That's pretty self-explanatory. All right, parental requirements. So if you are a parent and you have a child in one of our ministries here, we do ask that you create a KidCheck account with us. So if there is, if you have a child that's fifth grade or younger, you must have a KidCheck account in order to put your child in our nursery or in one of our Sunday school classes. That doesn't apply to youth, but it does apply to your children fifth grade and under. So if you come to the church and you don't have a KidCheck account, either myself or one of the deacons on duty will help walk you through the process on our laptop on how to create it. You don't need any really personal information to do it. You just need your phone number and your name and your children's names, no social security number or anything like that. You can also put your child's allergy information in there as well. Let's see. Oh, yes. And then if there's anyone else that you would want to pick up your child other than you from the classrooms, you can also indicate an alternate guardian through KidCheck. We're pretty strong on our stance of making sure that every child that's in a classroom is in our system. So that's really important. Okay, let's see. Parents also, if you could take care of diapering and bathroom needs beforehand to minimize safety issues and interruptions, we do have, like Mr. Woodbury said, we have people watching all the time, and so it minimizes interruptions, it minimizes what the security team is having to look out for when there's not a whole lot of kids walking around in the hallways. Please don't drop your child off to an empty classroom or nursery. Sometimes our volunteers do run late. It happens, but we ask that you would just hang tight or notify a deacon on duty if there's no one in one of the classrooms or in the nursery, and they'll take care of it. Okay, so occasionally in our Sunday school classes, the teachers do bring snacks. And sometimes parents would rather their child not have the snack, and if that's the case, please indicate that through your KidCheck account, but also verbally to your teacher or the nursery worker. And just so they know, we have a couple of children here that have peanut allergies. So we do ask that if you bring any snacks from home, that they not have peanuts in them, just to protect our little ones who are vulnerable. Okay, parents, please pick your children up promptly after the service. There's a lot of moving parts in between our services, and so we do ask kindly and humbly that if you would like to chat with a friend, that you hang tight and go pick your child up first and then have chat time, because otherwise it puts our teachers a little bit behind and our nursery workers a little bit behind that may have children in other places that they need to get. And also, if sometimes when children are late, I may bring your child out to you. let's see. Okay, parents, only you or your alternate guardian that you've approved through KidCheck can pick your child up. So when you go to pick your child up from nursery or from the classroom, we will ask to see your guardian badge. And we need to make sure that everything is matching up. You know, we are getting a lot more visitors now, and we want to be super careful and super diligent to make sure that the children get back to who they're supposed to get back to. Okay, from 10 to 10:30 on most Sundays, not this Sunday, on most of our Lord's Day, we have that fellowship time where we have our welcome center open with snacks. During that time, parents, you are responsible for your child. Once you check them out of the Sunday school on KidCheck, they will have to be, or yes, they'll have to be checked back into nursery for the morning service at 10:30. And I know that can get a little bit confusing, but we just want to make sure that there are eyes on the children at all times. Okay, sickness. I have a couple words for y'all. The 2012 Grace Covenant Church stomach bug. So that was not a fun time. We had a sick child come in, and two-thirds of our congregation ended up being sick. We had to steam clean carpets. It was not fun. We also have many people here with autoimmune disorders. We have little babies that are brand new. So we do ask parents, if your child has been sick within 24 hours, we would love for you to bring them back when they're healthy, but please don't bring them when they're not healthy, because it can have a pretty severe effect on everyone in our congregation. So please love your neighbor. There's outlined in the CPP, there's, you know, lots of different symptoms there that we ask you to look through. Make sure that your child has not had a fever within 24 hours, and that includes, like, oh, I gave my child Tylenol, but we want to see them not have a fever within 24 hours, not having any kind of pain reliever. And also, I mean, obviously with COVID and stomach bugs and things like that that go around, we do ask that you would keep your child home in those circumstances. Okay, so cleanup. If you are a teacher or if you are a nursery worker, we do ask, in the nursery, there's a sanitizing spray that all the toys get sprayed down with at the end of the particular service time, and we ask that everything gets sprayed down. We do also ask that anything that is brought out be put back, straightened up, cleaned up. If you're in a Sunday school classroom, please wipe the tables down and empty the trash can. And like my mom said, it's always good to leave something better than what we found it. Okay, so I'm going to get down to the last thing I want to talk to y'all about, which is our child abuse response plan. This is outlined in our child protection policy, and then I also have a copy of the mandated reporting laws in Virginia if you'd like to see that on your own. But I'll give you the long and short of it. The law in Virginia is that we are a mandatory reporting state. That includes clergy, except for when it's like a counseling scenario. then it's a confidentiality agreement, and that's a little bit different. So basically, the long and short of our policy is that if abuse is suspected, which we would take very, very seriously, we would go straight to the elders. We are an elder-led church, and so we would let the elders know, and they would take it from there. I just want to say one thing about that. There are many, many different signs of abuse, but abuse never occurs in a vacuum. So there would have to be a lot of discernment there in place. And again, we want to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves in that manner. Okay, let's see. Are there any questions? I know that was a lot of information. Are there any questions?
Terry, you mentioned guardian badges. Could you just give a like a broad brush description of the Kid Check program, how it works, how we basically hand off kids to the parents and we give them back to the parents when they check them out?
Yes, thank you. That's a very good question.
And on top of that, mm-hmm. How long does it take to set up the account in the morning, and how long does it take to check the kids in at the classroom?
Okay, thank you. Yes, so with our Kid Check account, once you have an account, basically you can either from your phone go to our Express Hub, which is nearest the front doors, and it will just prompt you to print out a label. You'll get one label for each child, and then you will get a guardian label, and you keep the guardian label with you, and you put the child's label, if they're little, put it on their back, that way they're not tempted to peel it off. And then also, if you are setting up an account for the first time, it shouldn't take more than 5 minutes on our laptop. Our laptop is the other way you can access your account. Some parents don't bring their phones into the church, and so they prefer to just enter their phone number. And then once they enter their phone number, it will bring their children's names up, and then they can just check which children off that they have in ministry, and then the badges will print for those particular children. And so it should only take, it's even faster if you use the Express Hub, because you can be in the church parking lot and start that process. And once you're within the Wi-Fi, it'll print out your badges for you. But it's a very quick process most of the time if technology is cooperating. Did I answer your questions? Okay. Are there any other questions? If you'd like to know more details about our children's ministry, what kind of curriculum we use, you know, how teachers are trained, I would be more than glad to get with you and how we train teachers and what we do, how often our youth meet, and things of that nature. So, all right. Well, thank you very much.